Today on Family Talk.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and a few months ago, I had the privilege of traveling to Atlanta with my co-host, Dr. Meg Meeker. Over the 3 days we were there, we interviewed several amazing authors and speakers on a variety of topics. The show floor was loud, and you may hear some background noise, but the content is strong, and I'm excited to share these great interviews with you over the next few months. So here now is the beginning of our interview from the show floor of the World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We're at ICRS today, and we have a really fun show planned. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and we have with us today Deb DeArmond, who has written a wonderful book, Related by Chance, Family by Choice, Transforming Mother-in-Law and Daughter-in-Law Relationships. Wow, that's a terrific topic. Welcome, Deb, to Family Talk.
Thanks so much, Dr. Meg.
Oh, it's great to have you here. You are currently a certified executive coach, and you've been one for more than 25 years. You are co-founder of MyPurposeNow.org, and you are a blogger at Family Matters, and your website is debdearmond.com/blog. What made you choose to write on this topic, mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws?
It's the book that would leave me alone, to be really honest. I have three sons, and you know that old saying that a son's a son till he takes a wife, and a daughter's a daughter all of her life?
Yes.
That wasn't going to work for me. I had three boys.
Yeah.
But I also recognize the truth in that old saying. My own family and my husband's family lived 5 miles apart, but when we married, we spent a lot more time with my parents than his. Not because we didn't enjoy being with his parents, but I think mothers and daughters are naturally closer. There's
yes.
kind of a pull. I think sons sometimes are not as connected, and it does create a little bit of an imbalance.
It does, and I think that developmentally, as a pediatrician, I look at relationships, parenting relationships, and development of boys and development of girls. You hit the nail on the head. When a son is growing up, he has to, in order to become a great man, he has to separate at key times from his mom. A daughter doesn't need to do that.
You can be daddy's girl all your life.
All your life.
Being mama's boy loses its fun about 12, let's face it.
Exactly. So, you have three daughter-in-laws?
I have three daughters-in-law.
Okay. Daughters-in-law.
Daughters-in-law. I know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Daughters-in-law. I have a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead.
Mm.
And they are, in personality, as different as their hair color. The first daughter-in-law, Sarah, is my redhead. And I met her when she was 13 years old.
Really?
She and my son became friends in junior high when she showed the new kid around, who was my son. They were both in band together, and that friendship developed, and they began to date when they were 16. Her dad died when she was only 5. Her mom worked evenings. Sarah spent a lot of time in our home. In fact, when the kids married, my husband walked her down the aisle.
Oh.
He's the only dad she's ever had. And I worry, Dr. Meg, how will I ever love another young woman like I do Sarah?
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord knew that. Because one of the things that we did that I know that was instrumental was as I looked at those little boys growing up, I began praying for the women who would someday be their wives and the mothers of my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And as you pray for that, when it happens, then it doesn't feel threatening to the relationship you have with your son. It feels like an answer to prayer. So number two, Heather, just a beautiful young woman, fell in love with her immediately. Penny was 28. That was a very different experience
yes.
because she was a full-grown adult.
Yes.
And I'll never forget one evening when she and my son Bryce were at the house. We were talking about wedding plans. She got in the car with him, and she said to him, "So will your mother always have an opinion about everything we do in our lives?"
Yikes.
And he said, "Probably, but she won't be offended if we don't take her advice. She just needs to give it now." I was grateful he was cheeky enough to tell me that story.
Yeah.
I was so indebted to him because it allowed me to have a conversation with Penny and say, "I don't ever want to be that mother-in-law."
Exactly.
And you have the right to throw the flag on the play
mm-hmm.
anytime it's a little too close or a little too personal. And I'll just tell you, it was a great way to start a relationship. She wrote about that in a blog. She's also a writer. She said, "That let me know this was a family that valued the relationship."
Mm-hmm.
And she's been open and willing to hear me, and I've been happy to return the favor.
You know, mothers-in-law can have a profound effect on the health of a marriage. And particularly when it's your son married to your daughter-in-law. And I think that, you know, even when you hear the word in-law, some people get kind of thorny and think, oh, that's a negative thing, that's a negative thing. What are some of the most common mistakes that mothers-in-law make with their daughter-in-laws?
I think one of the things is that they take a bit of a competitive stand. I mean, let's face it. A mom has invested her life in raising that young man, and just about the time she's got him where he's a reasonable person you want to spend time with, some other woman comes along and takes him off your hands.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a natural comparison. How much is my son's fiance or new bride like me? Yeah. How similar are we?
And then we use those answers to figure out whether we are a good mom or not.
I think some do, but I think the tendency is to decide whether she's a good wife or not.
Ah.
Different's not wrong, it's just different.
Exactly.
And I think one of the joys has been I've learned things from all three of these girls in areas where we don't do things alike. And when I said this is the book that wouldn't let us alone, two of the girls and I were attending a retreat together, and a woman leaned across the dinner table one night and said to me, kind of under her breath, I want to know your secret. And I looked up at her, and I didn't know her, and I said, I'm sorry, are you speaking to me? She said, yeah, I want to know your secret. Dr. Meg, I didn't have a secret, and I wasn't sure I'd tell her if I did because I didn't know her.
Right, yeah.
But I said, I'm not following you. She said, I'm in a bunkhouse with your two daughters-in-law, and they don't like you at all. They're crazy about you. And I want to know how you did that.
Oh, wow.
And so as we sat together after the evening meal, and she told me all of the failures of the young bride her son had chosen. Poor housekeeper, lazy mom, you name it, she was it. And I said, is she a believer? No. And she said, and that's another issue. And I said to her, well, I said, then you may need to ask forgiveness. She said, from who? I said, from God first and from her second. I said, this is a young woman who definitely could be drawn to Christ through someone living the love of Jesus. And she was so angry with me. The good news is 2 years later, she contacted me and said, so you need to know, I was so angry. And it's not yet great, but it's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being honest with me.
Wow.
The truth is that moms who have spent their lives being, you know, Bobby's mom or the soccer mom or the carpool lady sometimes are unclear about what their role is as the mother of married children, especially a married son. So she tries to do what she's always done, and it's just not appropriate
any longer.
It doesn't
work. So for a mother out there listening whose son is getting ready to be married, and she knows that she wants a healthy relationship with her daughter-in-law, and you said that feeling competitive with that young girl can really trip her up. Talk to her.
Mom, the truth is that your son may not have chosen a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. And if you use yourself as the yardstick, the rest of the world, including your son's new wife, will come up short.
Always.
Always. Because we don't see ourselves the way the rest of the world sees us. Find the things about her. If she's a terrible cook, maybe she's a wonderful mom.
Yeah.
If she's a wonderful mom but a poor housekeeper, enjoy the fact that your grandchildren are well cared for. Find the things about her to praise, and she'll probably be open maybe to some counsel. But the truth is, it's just not our job. I know women who say, oh, she's on her way. My mother-in-law's coming for a week. And so I've got to spend the next 3 or 4 days making things perfect because she won't overlook them. Don't be that mother.
Don't be that mother.
Don't be that mother-in-law. Be the one that they're thrilled to have come to visit. Sad when you have to leave. And mothers need to remember that God never intended moms to be the most important women in their sons' lives. That spot is reserved for their wife.
Right.
And the truth is that no matter how much tenure mama may have, well, that wife's got some benefits that mama just can't touch.
That's a hard pill to swallow.
It is.
If you are a mother whose identity is wrapped up in raising wonderful children, it's hard to step back and said, I've done my job. Now you can have a great you know, it's all a mother-son thing. I don't think dads feel this way with their daughters because dads can stay close, but it's a very emotional time. Now, what I see as a physician is many kids will grow up and marry somebody just like their parent. Is it true that we act out as a mother-in-law what we've experienced from our mother-in-law? In other words, the angry mother-in-law that had nothing nice to say about her daughter-in-law, was she criticized a lot by her husband's mother?
Sometimes. Sometimes that's absolutely the truth, but it goes beyond that. Think about how we've been culturalized around this relationship. Movies like Monster in Law with
yes.
Jennifer Lopez and Jane Fonda.
They hate each other.
Think about the ever-intrusive Marie Barone who lives across the street and everybody loves Raymond.
No.
And the jokes go back years and years and years. And so what's happened is that we've come to believe the relationship will never be good. Mm-hmm. When it's not, we're not surprised, and we do little about it. One of the things that we did early on was we did a good bit of research. We did focus groups, we did online surveys, we did interviews. And what we discovered is that the relationships between mothers-in-law and daughters-in-law of faith are no better than those who have no faith affiliation.
Isn't that sad?
It's frightening. And I don't know about in your Bible, but where it says love one another, there's not an asterisk that goes to the bottom and says except for your mother-in-law or daughter-in-law.
Well, and that book of Ruth. Yeah, and we know that Naomi was very, very bitter. Call me Mara.
But she apparently had lived her life in a way that Orpah and Ruth both wanted to go with her.
They wanted to stay with her.
And even though Orpah did return to her homeland, it said she did so tearfully.
Yes.
And we're real familiar with the verse where Ruth entreats her, don't send me away. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my... But it's the verse after that that really grabbed my attention. It says, when Naomi saw that Ruth had her heart set on going with her, she said no more. I ask women all the time who are struggling in these relationships, what have you set your heart on with regard to that other woman?
Ooh. Because do you ask the mother-in-laws or the daughters?
Either one.
Both. Okay.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. It will
yes.
show up and will always follow our heart. Naomi had clearly lived in a way that drew Ruth to her despite their differences. And
they were great. They were great. They had faith differences, age differences, mood
culture
differences.
They've
been through grief. And I always imagine Naomi, you know, as kind of not very well kept and not very nice and kind of ugly and kind of snarly. And I imagine Ruth is very beautiful. It's just me.
But that's the assignment for the mother-in-law right there.
That's right.
Ugly and snarly.
Exactly. You're right. And I'm so glad we're talking about this because I never saw that. I always saw Ruth's faithfulness, this wonderful holy girl that just loved her mother-in-law. And then I would ask myself, well, why can't I be like that to my mother-in-law? But I never saw that Naomi had a big part to play too.
She had a huge part. And when they arrive in Naomi's homeland, it was Naomi's family connection.
Yes.
It was Naomi's counsel about how to approach Boaz.
Yes.
These women did not compete with one another. They collaborated. And as a result, Boaz and Ruth give birth to Obed, who gives birth to Jesse, and now they're in the line of Christ.
Right.
What an incredible redemption
story. What an incredible
story.
And Naomi had even more, perhaps, to do with that coming about than Ruth did, and I always thought it was Ruth. See how biased we are when we read scripture. We see what we want to see.
Well, do you know what's funny is that in the book, we take the four chapters in the book of Ruth and we really break them down. And then at the end of each subsequent chapter, at the end of the chapter, there's a little, what would Ruth and Naomi do? And women have said, I love that. It just kept taking me back to the story. I don't think it's an accident that the four chapters of Ruth, where God really highlights this problematic relationship, the women are so incredibly different, because that's often what I hear. We're just too different. We'll never be friends. Forget about being family. Well, Ruth and Naomi, different planets.
They were totally different planets.
Completely.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the things that mothers-in-law can do right. What's the one most important thing they can start off doing right when a son goes to get married?
Well, I'll tell you that the advice I got from a friend when my first son was approaching his wedding was to wear beige and keep your mouth shut. Now, fortunately, I did not have to follow that rule.
I don't like beige and I like to talk.
I don't do beige. I was not required to do that. But I think that one of the things to remember is that when your son marries, you have an opportunity to welcome this young woman into your family and into your life. We are blessed to not only have our daughters-in-law's family, but we extended ourselves to her family. I'm blessed to say we're friends with the in-law family. My son's in-law family is with all three girls. We've holidayed together. Mm. We have a home where we have a large guest area, and one of the girls' parents lives about 5 hours away. I said, anytime you want, that little part of the house is yours. They have key to my house.
You are making it really hard for a lot of the daughters-in-law living out there. But this is so important.
But if you extend yourself, and when there's an issue, mother-in-law, first pray and only talk later. I'll never forget my daughter-in-law, Sarah, said to me after she'd been married maybe 5 years. She said, Mom, you know what I really love about you? I said, no, honey, what is that? She said that you don't have an opinion about everything we do in our life. Dr. Meg, I about fell off my chair laughing.
Wow, yeah.
I said, of course I do. I just no longer have permission to impose it unless you ask or God says go. And she said, really? I said, oh, you'll never know what it cost me.
That's right.
We're guests in their married lives. They all stop by at will. We don't drop in on our married children without calling and saying, hey, we're in the area. We'd love to stop by for a little bit. Would that be convenient?
Yes, very important.
And I think the other thing for mothers-in-law in particular is be flexible. It's not Burger King. You can't always have it your way. I'd love to have the children and their children at my house for every holiday. That's not equitable. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
And so look for alternative ways to have those times together. We once celebrated on the 18th of December because all of my children were going to their in-laws out of state.
And why not have Christmas on the 18th rather than the 25th?
Well, do you know, we did all of our traditional things. All of the kids stayed at our house the night before. Mm. We got up and opened packages, had our traditional Christmas brunch. And when I heard the trash truck outside, I thought, and I said to the family, since when does a trash man pick up on Christmas? And they all looked at me like I was crazy. But we had created that same family celebration. The date is really not that important.
It's not important.
It's just
What's more important are those relationships.
Absolutely.
I think that for women, because we are communicators, our words are very, very important. So what tips would you give mother-in-laws on how they speak to their daughters? You just told us a powerful story about how you won their hearts and had a close relationship because you held your tongue. So talk to us about some of the ways we can improve our relationships by how we talk to our daughters-in-law.
Well, I think that one of the most important things is to be open to their ideas, be open to their interests. I never had a bit of interest in the sport of running, marathon. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd have to be chased with a weapon to run 26 miles.
Yeah.
And I was never going to make it. But when Penny joined the family, she was a marathoner. And I began to learn a little bit about it through her. I began to attend a race or two, ask her about her training, volunteer to babysit when she was, after her first child was born and she was trying to train. And she said to me, when you became interested in the things that I was interested in, I knew you were interested in me.
Me, exactly.
That was key. Sarah loves to bake. I'm not particularly good at it. And so for family celebrations, I'll often invite Sarah to come over to my house. We'll bake together. She gets to be the chief baker, and I get to be sort of the assistant.
Yes.
And with Heather and I share careers. Mm-hmm. She saw me early in my career doing training and development, and she said, that's the work I want to do. And pursued an advanced degree and now does the same kind of work. So we have a professional shared interest. I've learned so much from all three of these girls. Be open. Ask questions. It's hard to get yourself in trouble asking questions.
Exactly. About things that they're interested in.
Yes.
And in that way, you really are affirming them.
Yeah. And when they're struggling, instead of dispensing advice, say, what can I do to help?
You know, and it may be the first time they've ever heard anything like that. I don't know, you know, what their relationship with their own mother is like. But that can be very trying for a mother-in-law if there was a unhealthy daughter-mother relationship and she comes into this new one. She may come in not trusting you, maybe closed off to you. Talk to us a little bit about boundaries. Now, I'm not big on boundaries, and I should be better about boundaries, but I have learned you don't just stop by. I have sons-in-law, not daughters-in-law yet. Our youngest is a son. But I know that's their home. I respect that, and that's their space. And yet it's not reciprocal. I open our home to them all the time. But what are some of the ways that mothers-in-law overstep boundaries and we don't even realize it?
I do think often what a mother-in-law might think would be helpful insight sounds like unsolicited advice and sometimes really harsh criticism. Mm. I think you have to really sort of remember what it was like to be a newlywed. I married an only son. Oh. His sisters would tell you he's the favored child.
Yeah.
And my mother-in-law looked me over a lot more carefully than she did the young men who came courting her daughters. And when I asked her about that, probably 5 or 6 years into our marriage, she said, well, I knew that the girls would join a family already in progress, and that Ron was going to be tasked with leading a family. And that was only going to be possible if the woman he married was willing to support that as a goal.
Yeah.
And use the word as the authority in their lives.
Mm.
And so when I step back, I remember what it felt to be a little under the microscope at times. Although almost 40 years later, I'm so grateful for her. She's my backup mother. My mother's been gone for many, many years. And I think that's one of the things, too. My mother-in-law, even though we have a wonderful relationship, never tried to take my mother's place. My daughters-in-law have wonderful mothers, and they have great relationships with them. They don't live nearby. And I never forget, I'm second in line. I'm the backup mom. I have said to them, gosh, you know, you've been with us for a couple of Christmases in a row. My bet is that your folks would really enjoy seeing you. Hurt me to say it. I wanted them at my house. But I put myself in the place of that
exactly.
other woman. So I think it's kind of remembering what it was like mm-hmm. when you were new and starting out, when every shift of the eyebrow seemed like it might come with a tough remark. But as far as boundaries, there are some relationships that are destructive. I talked recently with a woman who said, my son just became engaged. He's dated her for 2 years. I've adored her. But 2 weeks after they became engaged, they wanted to meet with me. She did all the talking and said, so once we're married, we're not going to be comfortable with you having a conversation with either of us without both of us being present.
Oh, stop.
She said, you mean I can't stop by his office and take him to lunch? She said, that would not be our preference, no.
And she did all the talking, not the husband.
She did all the talking. And I said to her,
or the fiance.
I said to her, what did your son say? Nothing. I said, well, that tells you one of two things. Either he agrees with her, or he's going to allow her to make the decision with regard to the relationship.
Yeah.
He's afraid of her. She said, so what do? I said, you honor her request. She said, well, that's ridiculous. I said, I agree with you. But I said, something in this woman's background or some relationship she's observed suggests that you might be a threat. You've got to absolutely live in a way that talks her out of that belief.
Mm-hmm.
Honoring her request to say, well, I'm disappointed, but I'm willing to accept what you've requested. Could we talk about it maybe again in 6 months or a year after you've been married and see how it goes? And she says, well, I don't like it, but that does make sense.
What about the mother? And this is honestly how I might have responded, because my son is the baby in the family. And if his fiance came to me and said that, we would have our conversation. She would leave. I would run straight to him and say, you are about to make a huge mistake. Good idea, bad idea?
Probably not one I'd recommend, but I do think that the conversation with him is appropriate. But I think I would say, so tell me how you felt about that conversation today and how you're feeling about this decision. I'd really want to know where it came from. And, well, Mom, I'm not very happy with it, but she's really clear. I mean, her mom had a terrible relationship with her grandmother, and her sister's got an awful relationship with her mother-in-law. Well, you know what? I think what happens is we get sort of fearful, and women want to protect their turf. It's sort of any movement in the brush from a mother-in-law gets a, you know, backside full of buckshot because they feel like they're imposing.
Right.
And it's hard to get in trouble with asking questions.
Yes.
Giving advice, you may just poke him enough that he feels like he has to defend her instead of saying, how do you feel about it? Well, I'm not comfortable with it, Mom, but she's so adamant about it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how should I respond? Ask him those questions. You may end up deciding, yeah, I need to do this because it's important to this young woman. I want to demonstrate it to her. I've no stones, no harm intended. Develop the relationship during that time. She'll move towards you. If, like Naomi, you can demonstrate the love of Christ in a way that draws her to you.
I hate to cut into our program, but we are out of time for today. You've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the interview you just heard was from the retail show floor of ICRS in Atlanta, Georgia, from just a few months ago. If you'd like more information about our guest today or the Ministry of Family Talk, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of today's broadcast, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.